Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together, and numbered them in Telem, 200,000 footmen, and 10,000 men of Judah. Saul came to a city of Amalek, and laid wait in the valley. Saul said unto the Kenites, Go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and of the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuge, they utterly destroyed. And down verse 21. But the chief people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, sacrificed unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee for being king. All right, look with me here in 1 Samuel 15. I titled my message this evening, Your Sin Will Find You Out. Your sin will find you out. Numbers 32:23 is what he said. Be sure your sins will find you out. Here's Saul as the king, first king over Israel, has proven himself to be a self-willed, self-justified man. The word of God, the word of Samuel, didn't mean anything to him. He absolutely chose to do what he wanted to do, no matter what God said. And that's the first thing it says here. Samuel also said unto Saul, The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over Israel, his people over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto, listen to this, the voice of the words of the Lord. The voice of the words of the Lord. Now I tell you, beloved, we hear God's voice. We don't hear an audible voice, but we hear God's voice in His Word. And God used Samuel. He used Samuel. When Samuel spoke, he said, This is the voice of God speaking to you. This is what God says to you. And Samuel, or Saul, he did not... And you find him, every time you find him, he's disobeying God. When Samuel didn't come up there, he decided to offer his own sacrifices. And then when they asked him why he done it, he said, Well, the people was fixing to rebel. So I've done it because of the people. So he was self-willed and offered his own sacrifices, not waiting for Samuel. And then he justified himself and said, It's the people that made me do it because they was fixing to act up. They're going to leave me. I had to do something. I had to do something. And here was his sin. And I tell you what, his sin, his rebellion went too far. There's no hope left for him. His sin had found him out. Remember a few weeks ago I preached about how the consequences of sin and Saul's sin. And God told him down here in verse 23, He said, For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. because thou hast, listen to this, rejected the word of the Lord. Our Lord Jesus said it this way, he that receiveth me receiveth my word. He that receiveth not my word, the same word shall judge him in the last day. And he said, you know, listen, you go to Moses, Moses wrote about me. And so here we are, a man, because he rejected God's word. You talking about a dangerous thing to do. Not only to reject it, but to change it and manipulate it and make it say something it doesn't say. And that's what he says, you've rejected the word of the Lord. Not my word, God's word. And look what else he goes on to say. Because you rejected God's word one time too many. This is what he says. God hath also rejected thee from being king. And that's what he said over, I read it to you last week where he said, went over there and an evil, the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul and an evil spirit from the Lord descended on him. Now God had already told him, I've rejected you as king and I'm seeking a man after, I'm going to find, I got a man after my own heart that I'm going to make him king. And the Lord told him exactly what to do to the Amalekites. Look what he says in verse 3. God told him exactly what to do. Now go and smite Amalek. Now listen to what he said. He told him, there's nothing that he could have misunderstood about what the Lord told him to do. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, everything they have, and spare them not. Slay a man, a woman, an infant, a suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and ass. I don't want nothing left in Amalek. Nothing. I don't want anything that lives in Amalek to be alive when you walk out of there. Now, why in the world would God say such a thing? Well, God is holy. God is holy and God is just. And these people, and you find it even did with Israel. But when people attack the Lord's people, and this is what happened. You look, you keep this and look with me at Exodus 17. This is what happened. In Exodus 17, this is what happened. And this is what God's, this has happened long, long time ago, but it's time for God to do something about it. Now they're coming up out of Egypt. And I tell you, this is where the water come out of the rock. And in verse 8 it says, Then came Amalek and fought against Israel in Rephidim. Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I'll stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. I'll go up, stand at the top of the hill. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Joshua discovered Amalek and his people with the sword. And then look what he said in verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And look what he says down in verse 16, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Now this is what happened. They come out in Egypt, Israel's in the wilderness, and they attacked Israel. They came and touched it, and they attacked the Lord's people. And God said, touch not mine anointed, and don't you do my prophets no harm. And that's what happened. When then God said, I'm going to utterly make their name disappear out of the face of the earth. And the only way we know anything about Amalek and the Amalekites is because it's in God's word and what God said to do to them. And Saul was to be the instrument to destroy Amalek. And God, you know, people say, well, these, you know, this sounds so cruel. But I tell you what, God shows us that a man, these people are idolaters. These people hated God. These people had attacked the Lord's people. These people had come against God's people. And you don't go against God's people. He will not. He said, don't touch mine anointed. You're the apple of my eye. He that touches you touches me. And that's what our Lord Jesus Christ, He said, I shall avenge mine elect to cry unto me day and night. So I tell you what, he said, it'd be better for a man to have a millstone cast about it, thrown about his neck and cast into the sea, as be better for him than he had been one of these little ones for whom I died. So I'll tell you now, see, though, God told him exactly what to do. Didn't leave. They talk, you know, you hear people talk the word disingenuous and ambiguous. Well, God wasn't either one of them. He wasn't disingenuous. He wasn't lying. He wasn't making things up. And he wasn't using ambiguous terms that would be hard to understand. He said, do this, and I want it done completely. When you leave Amalek, I don't want nothing breathing. If it's an infant, if it's a suck, if it's on his mother's breast, I want him dead. I want him dead. That's what God said. And then you know, and then here's what, this is what, you know, the Lord does this, but he done his own son this way. Done his own son that way. When sin was found on his blessed son, when sin was charged to his blessed son, when our Lord Jesus Christ took our sin upon himself, God said, I must utterly and absolutely destroy him. I must forsake him. He's going to have to die. And he's going to have to die a bloody death. He's going to have to die a death all by himself. I'm holy and I'm just and I'm righteous. And wherever there's sin, I've got to deal with it. Wherever I find it, I've got to justly deal with it. And that's what's going on here. And thank God that God justly dealt with our sins in his blessed Son. Oh, thank God he did. Now look what happens down here in verse 8 and 9. Now remember what God told him to do now. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. What did God say to do? What did God say to do? And he took the king of Amalekites utterly and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people, listen, always the people, spared Agag and the best of the sheep. God said, kill everything. Didn't he say that? Sheep, camel, and ass. And the best of the sheep and of the oxen, of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they utterly destroyed. Now what in the world? What do you think? Do you think that, well, said, well, he just, man, everything, that was such good stuff. The stuff was so good, the cattle was so good, the sheep were so good. And I took this king, I took him captive, and I'm going to be a great conqueror. I'm going to look good when I come back into Israel, and I've got this king with a rope around his neck, and I'm leading him down through Jerusalem, and I'm leading him down among the people, and they'll see what a great warrior I am. They'll see this king under subjection to me. But what did God tell him to do? What did God tell him to do? That's what he said. To obey the Lord is better than sacrifices. Rebellion as a sin of witchcraft. And oh my, he didn't do what God told him to do. He never did do what the Lord told him to do. And oh my, listen to what happens. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel. It repents me. that I have set up Saul to be king. Now we know that God does not change. Does not change. He's immutable. He uses language to accommodate us, and I'll deal with this at another time. For he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. This is what God said. But how would you like God to do that to you? To tell you that? Turn back from following me. There's a place, and I hear Member Scott preaching long ago, and I believe Marvin preached on it down here one time, where that man says, you know, the first person that I see, I will make a sacrifice unto the Lord. And his daughter came as the first one he saw. And he lifted his hand and said, I've lifted my hand to God and I cannot go back. I cannot go back. Well, here's a man who said he turned back from following me. How many people have turned back from following the Lord? I know preachers that now, that I once preached the gospel, that now they think they can't preach the gospel unless they preach that Christ loves everybody and died for everybody. That deny the particular redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're still in religion. They're still preaching. They're still in churches. They're still making an effort. They're still thinking that they're okay. But God says, you turn back from following me and have not performed my commandments. And you know our Lord gave us two commandments in the New Testament. Do you know what they are? The first one is, love one another as I've loved you. That's the first one. That's the first one. And the second one, believe, he commanded, this is eternal life that God commanded that we believe on his Son. Love one another and believe on his Son. Over in 1 John. That's the two commandments we have to obey. Now listen, listen. Do you reckon we've done that perfectly? You reckon we've done that just right? You reckon we love one another just as the way we ought to? Do you reckon then that we believe on His Son the way we ought to? No, no. But bless His holy name. There was one who did obey the Lord Jesus Christ, the God Himself. There's one who never turned back from the Lord Jesus. Gave his back to the smiters. Gave his beard to them that plucked. Gave his face to them that plucked off his beard. That never turned, said his face as flint. Never turned back. My hour is not yet come. Said his face as flint going to Jerusalem. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But if not, nevertheless. And God, he said, burnt offerings and sacrifice I would not, so I come to delight to do thy will, O Lord, I delight to do, and as thou hast prepared him a body. I tell you what. God, don't let us turn our back on. Don't help us never to turn from God. And oh my. And Samuel cried all night because of what this king had done. And oh my. And look what happened when Samuel rose early to meet Saul. Verse 12. In the morning he was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place. Now what in the world does that mean? Set him up a place. You know what that means? You remember over there when they built that those rocks and set them up and said, This is Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord brought me, that brought us. Hitherto hath the Lord brought. Well, they built a monument there. And they said, This is Ebenezer. This rock means Ebenezer. Hitherto hath the Lord brought me. Well, Saul, he come to this place after they thought he had defeated them at Amalek, and he come to this place and he built himself a monument. We said he built himself a place. He built himself a monument. Built himself something to know there's something. Look what I've done. I've went to Amalekites. I've defeated Amalekites. And I'm going to build me a monument and let everybody know what I did. That's what he did. Built himself a monument. And he built it to himself. And he set him up a place. And then he's gone on and passed on down to Gilgal. Oh my. Well, Samuel came to Saul. Now listen, look, watch how religious he is. We talked last week about him being a hypocrite. And Samuel came to Saul, and listen to what Saul said. Oh my, got real religious again. Oh, he loved to show his religion. Blessed be thou, the Lord. Oh, you're blessed of God. You're a great man of God. You're a wonderful man of God, Samuel. And listen to what he said. I've performed the commandment of the Lord. I've done it. Oh, listen. We're in the same place. We're going, we think about the same things. I've performed the commandment of the Lord. Oh, my. Watch what Samuel says. What's this bleeding of the sheep that I hear? Why I hear these sheep bleeding? Why do I hear these sheep? And then I hear the oxen lowing, which I hear. What is this that I'm listening to? Oh, be sure your sin will find you out. Oh my. Or he thought, boy, these things, they're not supposed to have them. Not supposed to have them. And Saul said, they brought them from the Amalekites for the people. And for the people. Listen, they said, I didn't do it, the people did it. They spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. I said, that's why we've done it. We're such good people. We're such holy people. We're such dedicated people. We're so devoted that we save the best so we can worship the Lord. So we can offer sacrifices unto God. That's what they used it for. That's what they said they'd done. Oh my. See, that's why God said down here in verse 22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great a light than burnt offerings and sacrifices? Does he really delight in them? Or would he rather you obey his voice? To obey is better than any sacrifice you can ever offer. And to hear what he has to say is better than the fat of rams. And I'll tell you something. Now let me ask you this question. And I ask myself this question. When obeying the voice of the Lord, when God talks about obey, he gave him a commandment, what utterly to do. And he had to do that perfectly, perfectly, just exactly the way God said for him to do it. And if he didn't do it exactly as God said to do it, then the Lord is going to deal with it. His sins found him out. Now listen. Is there any way under God's sun that you and I can obey the voice of the Lord perfectly? There's one who did. He said, thou hast dinged my ear. That means he put a hole in his ear. He said, I love my master. And God said he dug his ear, dug Christ's ear. And Christ said, I do what my Father tells me to do. I come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. I don't even speak for myself. I'm not saying what's in my mind. I'm not saying something I made up. The words that I speak unto you, they are of my Father. They come from him. And God's got to have the perfect, perfect obedience. If a man's going to be saved by obeying, And I heard a preacher preach, this was the last, years ago, a Camelite preacher was preaching a man's funeral. And he went through the Sermon on the Mount and talked about how good this man was. How he had kept the golden rule. How he had obeyed all the good works that he had done. I'm telling you, nobody, nowhere, under any circumstances, is gonna go and face God by his own works, by his own sacrifices, by his own obedience. If he does, he's a gone Jesse in the sight of God. Huh? But I'm telling you, there's one who obeyed enough for all his elect. Our Lord Jesus Christ, because of the worth of the virtue of his blessed person. Worth of his blessed person. Because his merit was so great and so glorious and so full that in that one man, he had enough love, he had enough obedience to render satisfaction to God on behalf of every one of his children, and God used us as obeying him perfectly in his blessed Son. How in the world else could you and I ever think of approaching God? You know, I never will forget, this is one of them times that just, you know, you hear something and just bam, just knock you down. I remember this up at Don Fortner's. Oh my goodness. It had to be 35, 36, 38 years ago. Scott Richardson, never had heard this statement made. He said, a screaming conscience, the only thing that will satisfy a screaming conscience is a perfect sacrifice. And when your conscience is given a perfect sacrifice, your conscience never asks for nothing else again. And God had a perfect sacrifice. And that perfect sacrifice is his blessed Son. And when I understood that he's that perfect sacrifice, my conscience has never asked for anything else. It don't even accuse me anymore. I'm serious. It don't accuse me. Sometimes sins come to me and that, and I feel bad about it. And I feel, but I say, Lord, I'm sorry that I've done those things, but those things are taken care of. Listen, right this moment, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And oh my, we've got one that opened. That's why our Lord said, this is my beloved Son. That's what I want you to do. I want you to hear him. If I won't speak to you, I'm going to speak through him. If I'm going to give you anything, I'm going to give it to you through him. Love is through him. Grace through him. Righteousness through him. Justification through him. Everything through him. And oh my. And he said, oh, I've obeyed. And I tell you, you're going to be religious. Then Samuel said in verse 16, stay, stop right here, stay, don't move, stand right here. I'm going to tell you what the Lord said unto me tonight before I got here. And he said unto him, say on. Look what he says now. And Samuel said, when you was little in your own eyes, in your own sight, when you was nobody, when you didn't think yourself worthy of nothing, when you was just nobody from nowhere of the smallest tribe, when you was little in your own eyes, wast thou not made the heads of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? It's when you was little in your own eyes. And this is one thing, and I've talked about it with preachers, and I'll talk about it with you. God is going to keep his people down. He's going to do that. He's going to keep us believing. What God said he hates pride, but oh, listen, what are we? Who are we? Who are we? We were nobodies from nowhere. Our parents was nobody. Our grandparents was nobody. Adam was one that destroyed us all. And our Lord Jesus Christ, he, if we got anything, he gave it to us. If we know anything, he taught it to us. And oh my, how can we not? Oh, how can we ever lift ourselves up and make our think our that we're somebody? Oh my. And then he said in verse 18, and the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners of the Amalekites and fight against them until they be consumed. That's what God sent you on a journey. That's what he told you to do. Now this is what he said in verse 19. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, and did fly upon the spoil, and listen to this, and did evil in his sight. Did evil in his sight. You know, over in Galatians it says, you know, we're justified in his sight. That's the only place it matters, where you're justified in his sight. And here he says you've done evil in his sight. God's looking at you, Saul. God saw you, Saul. You didn't obey the voice of the Lord. You did evil in his sight. And listen, how this is how deceitful the heart is, and how deceitful and desperately wicked it is. And look what Saul said back to Samuel. Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I obeyed the voice of the Lord. I did. God just told him he didn't. Told him three times he hadn't. And he turns around and he justifies himself, and he looks at himself and said, listen, I'm not here as bad as you say I am, Samuel. No, no, no. Saul said, yes, I've obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. And here, listen to who he blames it on now. Justifies himself, deceived in himself, and then he says, well, it's the people that done it. And that's what he did over there. He said, I offered that sacrifice because of what the people's going to do. But the people took of the spoil, sheep, oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed. And he said, why they wasn't, it's because we come to sacrifice to the Lord. And you know, there ain't but one sacrifice acceptable to God. And that's the sacrifice of his blessed Son, who by the sacrifice of himself put away our sins once in the end of the world. Oh, he is so deceived in himself. I've obeyed the voice of the Lord. And then, oh my, he says down here again, I'm taking the throne away from you. He said in verse 23, for rebellion, rebelled against the word, rebelled against God, rebelled against his will, rebelling against God Almighty is as the sin of witchcraft. Oh my. And stubbornness, being stubborn, going to justify yourself, be self-willed, stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee. Be sure your sin will find you out. Now look what he said. I got to move on here. I'll be done just in a little bit. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in thy words. He finally owned up to it. And the people, and he said, and because I feared the people. Ought we ought to obey God? were people and obeyed their voice, not God's voice, the people's voice. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin. Now wait a minute. He's asking a man to pardon his sin. He's asking a prophet to pardon his sin. He's asking Samuel to pardon his sin. Don't he know that there's only one person that can pardon sin, and that's God Himself, and it's got to be God's anointed priest, and it's got to be not God's anointed sacrifice? And he said, I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. Oh my. You think he was sorry. You think his repentance was real. But look what he said. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, his garment, and ripped it. Said, God done that. That's the way he's done you. And I tell you what, when you read things like this, and you see how men are and how deceitful the heart is and desperately wicked is, how man's deceived in himself, and how he does utterly, just utterly rejects God and His Word outright, justifies himself, self-will, blames it on somebody else. Thank God for the gospel. It's me, Lord. It ain't that other fella. It's me. I'm like that publican smote on his heart. Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. Huh? Our Father, in the precious, glorious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, we bless you that when we read things like we read tonight, that we have a sacrifice, that we have a Savior, that we have a sovereign, we have a substitute, we have a sin offering, we have a high priest, and we have the blood, and all of your appointing, all of your providing. And we come with what you provided, and only through Him, by Him, because of Him. Thank you for allowing us to meet tonight. God bless you, dear people, for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Well, good night.